Let us hear now God's very words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and beginning at verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Did you not know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray now that your word might be a living word that would feed our souls, refresh us in your grace, that we might be more obedient, that we might know Christ better, that we might be more emboldened to serve him more faithfully. Indeed, Lord, we would pray that your word might change us in some way today. Father, I also would want to pray for our dear friend Bob Joseph at this time, who will be under doctor's care later in the near future. We pray for him and your sustaining grace upon he and Jenny. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. In Judaism, when a child turns about the age of 13, they undergo what's called bar mitzvah. It's a special time of training and encouragement and testing that when the child passes the bar mitzvah, they're really declared before the community as an adult. They're able at that point to read scripture in public meetings and pray publicly and even according to the older Jewish law, to marry after they've been bar mitzvahed. I'm reminded that in a certain tribe in Africa, they have something a little bit similar where a boy, when he turns about this same age, around 13, goes away from his mother for a period of time for some instruction, and then is brought back and reintroduced to his mother. And there's a whole ritual where the mother must come up to the boy and say, "Who is this young man?" To which the response then is that he's then introduced as a man to his mother. Now, I dare say that we don't really have much going for this in American society. In fact, in many ways, adolescence You know, when a child comes to that age of 12, 13, 14, often the expectation is that that's when we begin to lose them. That's when they rebel. That's when the expectation being, that's when they start experimenting with drugs and sex and alcohol, and when they start listening to death metal music and start dressing goth and start going into existential despair and become detached and aloof and morbid and entertaining bad friends and basically have an identity as well as spiritual crisis. That's something of the expectation of what should happen at 13. But this is not the biblical view. And certainly Jesus models a different example. When we hear Luke telling us that in his progression of growing up as a young boy, he grew in wisdom as well as stature and in the favor of God and men. And it's interesting here that in the last verse of the section of scripture that I read, as Mary thinks about this experience that we just talked about, his being thought lost for 3 days in Jerusalem, at the end of it all, it's summarized that Mary treasured these things in her heart, or she pondered them deeply in her heart. The other place, by the way, where Luke mentions that phrase is, you know, about 12 years earlier after the shepherds visited. And it says the same thing, that after the shepherds departed, Mary treasured these things in her heart. And so, dear friends, there are things in this passage of Scripture that we too should treasure. As we remember that Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and grew to be about his Father's business. And the fact that he was about his Father's business is something we too need to deeply treasure and value in our own hearts. And so there's 2 points today as we treasure Jesus in our hearts, that we would treasure him both as the Son of Man, and then the second point, as the Son of the Law. First, the Son of Man. The book of Luke is written a little bit later than the book of Mark, and probably later than the book of Matthew. It's written in the context of where, through the preaching of Paul, many Greek people have been coming into the church. And so in that context, Luke's gospel comes, in some ways responding to Greek Platonic philosophy that denied the true humanity of Christ. You might remember that one of the early church heresies was not a denial of the divinity of Christ, but rather a denial of the true humanity of Christ. And so Luke, perhaps even more than Matthew, is reminding us of the true humanity of Christ, both in the infancy narrative that we're so familiar with at Christmas time, but also the only gospel writer that gives us this story of Jesus at the age of 12. And the perspective is that his growth was, while perhaps exceptional in many ways, was normal in many other ways. That Jesus grew in his wisdom, grew in his knowledge. You know, there's a number of because there is such a gap in, well, what was the child Jesus really like? There were some apocryphal books later, written centuries after. One's called The Infancy Gospel of Thomas, that is, I think, addressed some curiosity that people might have had about Jesus' child. I mean, what's it like for the Son of God to grow up? And so we have stories like, you know, that he made birds out of clay and breathed life and the birds flew away. Or there's a story about he curses a boy who's teasing him and the boy drops dead and the parents are made blind. Or that all, you know, that a man chops off his foot with an axe and Jesus heals him. A man falls off a roof and Jesus... So there's, you know, later these kind of legendary stories in apocryphal literature come in to, I think, address some curiosity that people must have had about, you know, what's the child Jesus like? But you want to note that Luke gives us the summary like this. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor of God and man. There was actually some sense of sort of normalcy about the way Jesus grew and learned. Now this creates some interesting issues for us, doesn't it? If you're the eternal Son of God, the God-man, what does it mean that Jesus learned? That he, if you're omniscient, how do you grow in wisdom? Right? You see the issue there, right? What does it mean that God, in the flesh, grew in wisdom? Now, I'll admit, there's mysteries here as we think about the nature of Christ and the nature of his development. But here's probably not a very good illustration. But I sometimes have been asked, like, okay, who is that person? And I have the experience of, you know, I know who that is. I know their name, but it doesn't come to me until like later. Some of you have this, and then later in the day, you think, well, that was Michael, or that was George, or something. Oh yeah, I had that knowledge, but it wasn't immediately before my consciousness. Okay, now, just in that really simple illustration, we can see a distinction between how there can be knowledge that is immediately before one's consciousness and knowledge that's not. Now, I think that illustration falls short because I don't want to suggest that Jesus had anything like amnesia, but I think we have to take seriously that Luke's telling us he grew in wisdom. I don't think it's our position that Jesus as an infant was sort of like, you know, faking it. You know, like he really is an infant, but he really, you know, he really knew everything that there was to know about 18th century Russian poetry. Or that, you know, while he's an infant, he truly knew Einstein's theory of relativity as an infant. Or that somehow he's sort of pretending to be dumb when he's really not. But no, Lucas, he really did learn things, and that learning process was normal in the way people learn things. J. Oliver Buswell writes it like this, and I'll read you this quote. I think it helps explain a little bit, at least. It says, "We have seen that Jesus, at 12 years of age, knew who he was and why he came into the world. I postulate that prior to the incarnation, in the eternal decrees of God, the Son had purposed during the time of his life on earth to hold in his active consciousness that information and those feelings and reactions which were available to spirit-led men. Thus, not through any amnesia, not through any inability of any kind, but by his own previous decision, Christ in his active consciousness went through the normal stages of intellectual development. This is perfectly consistent with the doctrine that he did not give up his divine powers of omniscience. At any moment during his life on earth, he could have called to mind any aspect of his divine, of his infinite knowledge, but chose voluntarily and consciously to hold in active thought only such matters as would make his earthly existence a genuine human experience." So when we think about Jesus' growth as a child, one of the benefits of the incarnation in thinking about this is that he gets what it's like to do humanity from infancy on up. Gets what it's like to learn in school, to learn the law in the synagogue, endured playground bullies, endured what it was like to experience peer pressure, the responsibilities of adulthood, the loss of a father. In other words, we have a Savior who fully has identified with what it's like to live and grow and experience the full range of what it means to be human in this world. So that the writer of Hebrews can say, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way and yet without sin. So first point would be, let us deeply ponder and treasure these things in our heart, that we have a Savior who gets us, who gets what life in this world is like, who gets what it's like to grow up, who gets what it's like to be a teenager, who gets what it's like to live in the fallen, broken grittiness of this world, who gets that, and who is our Savior, who sympathizes with all aspects of what it means to live in this world. Ponder that. Treasure that in your heart. Certainly, this was one of the things Mary would have treasured, was, I know the history of this boy. I know how he was conceived. And I've been watching him grow up. Pondering, treasuring what it means that God has entered into the drama of human experience. The word bar mitzvah means son of the law. And we're told here that Jesus here is by the age of 12. He seems to have this now identity of what his mission, calling, purpose, who he is, and what God has called him to do. So we are reminded as well that he is the fulfillment of the Son of the Law. So we find him here in Jerusalem on what was one of many pilgrimages at Passover. There in the temple, asking questions and astonishing those who were the teachers of the law at his time. We're reminded here that this was during Passover time. Now what was Passover? Passover, of course, the great yearly celebration of how God delivered his people from Egypt. So, year after year, as Jesus makes this 80-mile journey to Jerusalem at Passover time, and as he's growing in wisdom, growing in knowledge, taking the Passover lamb, watching his father hand it over to the priest, being aware that the center place of this Passover celebration was the atoning lamb being slain for the sins of the people. Do you think that part of what Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge was that he's the fulfillment? As the true son of the law, he fulfills. His mission was to fulfill that aspect of the law. You want to note that he was gone for 3 days. Now, I assume all parents have probably had this scary experience, right? Where you lose your child even for 10 minutes. But now put yourself in Mary and Joseph's perspective in terms of this busy city of Jerusalem, brimming with people who have been coming to be a part of this celebration. And for 3 days, Jesus is gone. Kind of 3 days, is he dead? What? I mean, all the things that happen to children today happened to children back then as well. There were children kidnappers, slave traders that would get a hold of children and sell them into slavery, child molesters and child murderers, all the fears that a parent would have. For 3 days, they, in essence, have to consider Jesus something like, is he dead? Has he died? So we are reminded that Jesus, the Son of the Law, the one who came to fulfill the law, is the one who came to be the sacrifice, who in 3 days of death rises alive about his Father's business. We should ponder deeply in our hearts this day that Jesus was about his Father's business. And that Father's business is very much relevant to us today, for it has to do with the very identity of who we are, the people of God, saved by grace through the blood of Christ, redeemed by the Passover lamb. Let us ponder deeply these things, to treasure deeply in our hearts what this all means. You understand what it means to treasure in our hearts? Means this is important stuff. This is the pearl of great price. This is a treasure. And may we reorient our lives and treasure in our hearts a Jesus who is the Son of Man, who has come to fully identify with our human experience, but also the Son of the Law, the Bar Mitzvah, who came to fulfill the law, both in being the Lamb of God, but fulfilling the law in his active obedience as well, in obeying the law without sin, that he might impute his righteousness to us. Indeed, friends, let's treasure that you don't miss this. Don't consider this lightweight. Treasure deeply, ponder deeply these things in our hearts. Let's pray.